this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I want to share a very brief word with you guys. And so if you can, in your Bibles, if you can turn. And I know there's some of the guys who know me who are a little bit skeptical about the word brief. And Heinrich, the same sentence, but I got it right yesterday at small group training, so have faith, guys. Matthew 9, verse 35. By the way, for those of you guys visiting us, and maybe don't know us that well, my name is Heinrich, and together with my wife Nikki over there, we're part of the leadership team of this wonderful church. Matthew 9, verse 35, it says, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction." And I have given the title of my brief message this morning, Member Benefits. Right? Member Benefits. I had a very interesting experience this week. We've got a wonderful chap who helps us out at the house. He is a gardener and just a go-to man. And he gets the mail out of the mailbox for me as well. And the day before yesterday, I went to the mailbox just because I was looking for something specific that I couldn't understand why it hasn't arrived yet. So I took the key and I went to the lock. And then I experienced something very interesting. It just appeared as if this lock hasn't been opened in like weeks. It's actually quite rusty. And so I eventually, you know, got it open, and there I found just like tons of stuff in there. And so what he had actually done was he just took the overflow out of the mailbox. So everything that was stuck, you know, sort of there where you put it in, that's what he took out. So there were a whole bunch of slips and, you know, e-toll goodies and all sorts of stuff that were just like building up there. And amongst others, there was this letter from our medical scheme and just informing us about our member benefits that have changed over the last little while. And we got a few extra this and a few extra that. And then as I was just thinking about this morning, I realized that quite a number of us very often, you know, we the locks to our mailboxes are a little bit rusty, you know, when it comes to just experiencing and knowing what the member benefits are that the Lord gives us when we're in the kingdom and we're part of His family. And we spend a lot of time just talking about this at E1 and E2, talking about who we are as a body of believers and what it is that the Lord adds to our lives. And we're saying it the whole morning, and that is that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. God blesses us. He's incredible. His heart towards us is to bless us, to overwhelm us with who He is, to wrap His arms around us. That story that Peter told of the prodigal son, the story ends with the dad running to this son, and he tackles him to the ground. It says he ran to him and he wraps his arms around him. And that's the picture of God and His goodness towards us. He doesn't just wait for us. He runs towards us wherever we are this morning, and He overwhelms us with His goodness. But there are a few benefits the Lord gives us besides just who He is and His heart. And for us as believers, one of the greatest benefits actually being in the kingdom is not so much what we can get, but what we can give. The paradox of the gospel, that if you want to keep your life, find your life, increase your life, you need to give it away. But if you hold on to it, you lose it. And so I want to chat to you very quickly about that. And here in Matthew 9, we see Jesus at the back end of many, many miracles that He's done. Scripture says He went throughout all the villages and all the cities. And that's part of our heart. He said, that's why we plant churches in cities and in small towns. Because we believe that Jesus, wherever people are, that's where Jesus want to be. You find a group of people together and you can bet your bottom rand, dollar, that's where Jesus is wanting to be. Okay? Where people gather, Jesus is drawn towards them. And so we believe that wherever people are, that's where we want to be as well. Okay? And so that's why we have our hearts bleed for our cities, bleed for our villages. And we want to get in there together with Jesus, because we see there that Jesus did a few things. Briefly, this is a beautiful summary of what Jesus did. He was teaching, He was proclaiming or preaching, and He was healing. And wherever we see a genuine move of God, we always see those two things going hand in hand. The word with power. You have the preaching, you have the declaration, you have the announcing, you have the singing, you have the praying, the words, the invitations going out, saying, come, share in what the Lord is doing in our lives. But then we see, as we saw this morning, power being released as well. And that's what we believe the Lord has called us to do. Not just to have a nice gathering, but to see lives change with the power of the gospel. Okay, so Jesus did this. He demonstrated this. He preached the gospel. He proclaimed the kingdom, not the message of a specific church or a specific doctrine, but the full counsel of God. Okay, and everything, rich, poor, young, old, the poor are lost and broken and need Jesus. The rich are lost and broken and need Jesus. The marriages are lost and broken and need Jesus. The singles are married, lost and broken and need Jesus. Wherever you are, that's prophetic. The singles are married in the kingdom of God. The sound of weddings will be released, by the way. We've got a beautiful wedding coming up in November that we're very excited about. Less than Seja getting married. And so it's a biggie for us. We're going to have a lovely big ceremony and a celebration. And on behalf of them, I'm inviting you all. And we're going to arrange the party. And we're going to have a ball. It's going to be amazing. Such a beautiful and precious moment in our lives is to share our lives with Him. But that's what God does. He comes into our lives. He takes the brokenness. He transforms it. And He makes something beautiful and something glorious out of it. And that is what we see Jesus having done there. He went about healing, preaching, and proclaiming it. And that is our heart. If you want to know what is Shofar all about, that's what we're about. We want to preach. We want to teach. And we want to heal. We want to see hearts change. We want to see the gospel invade people's lives. Something interesting just in the back end of the verse was 36. It says, Jesus is busy, and I think you will all agree with me that teaching and preaching and healing, if you were Jesus, just think for a moment, if you can, put yourself in Jesus' shoes, 3 years in which he had to do and perform the purposes of God. That's a pretty hectic life. Think about the thousands of people around him, jostling for his attention, demanding his attention, wanting to be healed, have people raised from the dead. So many people backstabbing him, speaking nonsense about him. One day they proclaim his goodness. The other day, they want to throw him off a cliff and stone him. It was just crazy being this man. And yet, in spite of his busyness, we see something so beautiful here. It says, when he saw the multitudes, something amazing that Jesus had this ability to not just look at people, but to see them. He saw them. Didn't just see a number. Didn't just see a color. Didn't just see a car, a class, a gender, social grouping or an age. He saw them for who they were, saw their hearts, saw their hurt, saw their potential, saw their fears, saw their frustration. And he looked beyond the veneer and the masks and all of those things. In spite of his busyness, he saw them. And then this beautiful phrase, and he was moved with compassion because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Wikipedia, I don't often quote Wikipedia, but they sort of get this right. Compassion. It's a difficult word to translate into English, but it comes from the Greek, the Latin, that basically means to suffer with someone else. You are co-patient with that person. And so compassion speaks about an emotion that gives way and rise to an active desire to help. It's different than sympathy, even though sympathy is a beautiful emotion. Sympathy is powerless because it simply just gets you to connect maybe on an emotional level. Just, oh, that's so bad. I'm so sorry to hear that. Shame, like we often say in our South African culture. Shame, man. And sympathy. Compassion is something different. Compassion says you see and you move to action. Compassion always leads to an active desire to help. Last night, one of those beautiful moments again with Annika, we're praying and sitting down and reading them a story. And then it's her turn to pray and she's like, I don't even have anything to pray about, she says. So, okay, I'll just pray in the Spirit a little bit. And then she prays a few minutes like, well, I've got it. And then she lets go. Just want to encourage you. Sometimes your brain is preoccupied with lots of stuff. Pray in the Spirit. Okay, the Lord stirs your heart and He opens up your mind to know what you need to pray for. And then I just felt the Lord to lead me to speak to her about God also wants to show her stuff. Wants to show her pictures. Wants to begin to show her things. And so I said, close your eyes, and I believe Jesus wants to show you something. And she closes her eyes and asks, what do you see? And she says, I see Jesus, and he's with a group of people. I'm like, okay, where is Jesus? What is he? What is he doing? No, he's standing to the right, she says, and people are to the left. And then he's moving between them and touching them and healing them. And so we started talking about this and about Jesus' heart and for people and to move amongst them and to heal them. But now Jesus is in heaven through his Spirit is living in our hearts, and we need to be his hands and feet. So we need to be Jesus to people, so to speak. Be his heart. Touch people. And so we spoke about a practical way and said, go to mom and ask her for some stuff we can put in the car. And so when we drive down the road, we see a poor person and we feel the Lord lays them on your heart, you can give them something. And so my mind immediately went to, okay, we now need to do something. And so she comes back after speaking to her mom. After a few minutes, she comes back to me and she says, my heart feels sad, she says. And then I realized again, you know, one of those moments where you learn from the little ones, that I'd missed it. As beautiful as my practical advice was, what God was after and what she realized was the heart. Jesus wasn't so much just showing her what we need to be doing. He was actually connecting. Her heart was still soft enough to not just see poor people and Jesus doing something, but to feel them. She felt them. And I'm like, Jesus, come on. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit just wanted to say to us this morning. Just wants to impress upon our hearts, wants to impact our hearts, open it up again to say that that's still the key for all of our ministry. It's for us to feel his heart. It's to feel his heart. Because if we feel his heart, if we are filled with his compassion, then action is a natural outflow. You cannot help but act. And I know so many of you guys have heard this about Jesus. I just want to give you a few scripture references. 3 more minutes and I'm done. Matthew 14:4 says, when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude and he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Okay? It's another verse in Matthew 18:27, speaking about the judge, the master, referring to God and his servant coming to him. He had a great debt that he had to pay and he couldn't pay the debt. So the master gives him a punishment, but this guy comes to him and says, please, you can't do this to me. I've got a family I've got to feed. And it says the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him and forgave his debt. That's God. When we come to him and we overwhelmed by our sin and we should be punished, God is moved with compassion. And we come to him and he releases us and he forgives us. It's another beautiful verse in Mark 1:40. It says a leper came to him. Nobody wanted to touch the lepers. They were considered to be unclean, imploring him and kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You can heal me, God, if you're willing. Then Jesus, again, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand, touched him, and said to him, I'm willing, be cleansed. So we see Jesus always, before his miracles, he was moved with compassion. And out of his heart, he acted. Out of his heart, he gave. Out of that compassion that drove him. And it is with that verse in mind that Jesus comes. And we have this verse in verse 37 that most of us know very well. And often we use to motivate you to get involved, isn't it? Then Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. If you backtrack, and then you will see what Jesus meant when he spoke about the harvest in verse 36. He says, the harvest is scattered, weary, like sheep without a shepherd. So that's Jesus. When he looks at the harvest, it doesn't just look at multitudes. It doesn't just look at, oh, there are people to be reached. He says, I see them. It's weary. Tired of life. Tired of striving. Tired of religion. Tired of the hurt. Tired of trying to prove themselves over and over and over again. I see them. I really see them. They scatter. They don't have a safe place. A place they can just be themselves. A place where they can feel free enough to fail. Free enough to say, I don't understand. Free enough to say, I'm angry. Free enough to say, I'm cross with God. Just a safe place. Just that's the harvest. Pray for the Lord and send harvesters. And I believe the kind of harvesters God wants. If we need to reach people that are weary and scattered, and the harvesters, the kind of harvesters that God wants, are harvesters that are connected to his heart. Because it's not a building, and it's not a system, and it's not the name of a church that will be able to provide in the needs of that heart. It's hearts that are connected to the Father's heart. So we can just be channels through which he can manifest his love